This is 89.1 KUAR. I'm Michael Heplin. We're going to break into Here and Now so that we can bring you a live press briefing. Governor Asa Hutchinson expected to talk with reporters shortly at the state capitol. At this point, the Arkansas Department of Health is reporting 280 total positive cases of COVID-19 in the state. Let me bring that down. We also have had two deaths reported yesterday, and Arkansas legislators are preparing for a special session. We'll likely learn more about that this afternoon. Joining me in the studio is KUAR's Daniel Breen. Danny, you were over at the, it wasn't City Hall, it was across from City Hall as Little Rock leaders are meeting there at Robinson to keep social distance. But tell me what's happening with the city while we wait for the governor.
Yeah, that's right, Michael. And they've been distancing themselves, too, at these city board meetings and these press conferences. They're noticeably standing a few feet apart. This was a special meeting of the city board of directors. They attempted to pass an ordinance allowing them to meet virtually. They were one vote short on that. But afterward, Mayor Frank Scott Jr. held a press conference sort of rolling out the city's marketing campaign to encourage social distancing. They call it Stay In and Tell a Friend. It's going to be radio ads, billboards, things like that. But Mayor Scott also instituted a number of changes, I guess, announced a number of different changes about this coronavirus pandemic. Here in Little Rock, he is extending the overnight curfew. That is going to be from 9 p.m. now until 5 a.m., and he is also saying that police will be enforcing that curfew with citations. People will be, people who work overnight, if you're going to get groceries, and, even if you're just driving, you'll pretty much be exempt from it. But you could get a citation now if you break curfew, just, again, to encourage the social distancing. There's also a day curfew for minors. That's going to be from 9:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. And if you're a minor, that citation will be going to your parents. Aside from that,
Danny, I'm going to cut you off right there. Okay. We've got Governor Hutchinson coming to the podium now. We'll get more from you here after the governor's over.
Good afternoon to everyone. Thank you for joining us for this COVID-19 response efforts. I'm glad to be joined by Dr. Nathan Smith, Secretary of the Department of Health, who's leading this from a public health perspective, as well as today, Secretary Nate Todd, Colonel Nate Todd of our Department of Veterans Affairs, that has an important message for our veterans today. And as the public, I hope, knows by now, my goal of these updates is to let everyone know the challenge that we face, but also what we are doing as a state to address and to plan for those, and then to talk about what the public can do in terms of their responsibility. But then the insight is that you are a part of this journey. You're living it every day, and we want you to understand the ups and downs that we go through in our leadership team, whether this is pursuing personal protective equipment, or whether it's testing challenges, or whether it is reporting the results of the testing. But we want you to be a part of the journey through these updates. Today, or I should say yesterday, we had 218 cases that were reported. Today, we have an addition of 62 cases, which brings it to 280. Cases in Arkansas. We've added two new counties, Drew and Hot Springs. Dr. Nate Smith will have more to elaborate on those findings. In terms of our testing capability, I was visiting with Dr. Smith, and at first we weren't confident that we had sufficient testing to really to know where we are in the state in terms of the spread and the extent of the outbreak. Today, because of the extensive new testing that we're getting from the commercial labs, as well as what's been brought online from the Department of Health and from UAMS, we sense that we are getting a good flavor for where we are in Arkansas broadly with COVID-19. So this is a big step forward where we have a more accurate picture as to where we are through the results of this testing. We have the systems in place. Sometimes there is some delay because we have to get reagents and different supplies from the supply chain to make sure all the laboratories are operating as they should. I also want to express my thanks to the federal delegation, our members of Congress representing Arkansas and our senators, because they've done yeoman work in terms of the Senate bill that we hope will soon pass the House that provides a lot of confidence to Arkansans that there will be greater relief for that person that is laid off, that's having a hard time paying the bills, that small business person, the restaurant owner, that we can look to some financial assistance, that Senate bill, including the hospitals. And I'm very grateful for our constant communication with our federal delegation and the support they've given the state through the passage of this bill. I want to talk about the resources. It's been said before that we're very grateful for our nurses, our doctors, the lab technicians who are all on the front line of this fight. And they're there every day, but as you look at how long this might extend, there's going to be some of those healthcare professionals that might have to isolate for their own health needs or because they've had a positive test. And so there's going to be shortages, there's going to be needs to fill the gap in our healthcare providers in the coming weeks and months. In order to be prepared for this challenge, I've asked the medical board, and they responded very quickly, to expedite the licensing of our healthcare workers. And so the medical board expedited emergency temporary licensure to medical residents who have completed their 1 year of internship. Their licensure fees have been waived, and as a result of that, we have 15 residents that have done their internship, that have applied for this quick licensure provision, and they will be able to enter the healthcare field in a faster way. In addition, the medical board accelerated their overall licensing process, and the result is that we have over 100 new physicians that have been licensed in the month of March. In terms of the nursing board, they likewise have accelerated their licensing process. They have issued licenses within 24 hours for nurses that have applied. In March, the board has issued 300 new nurse licenses through this expedited process. So I applaud both the medical board, the nursing board, and other licensure boards that are really meeting the need and the urgency of the current health crisis. Some nurses actually have been laid off because of elective procedures are not happening at some clinics. They have to close down or to shorten the hours of our nurses. And so the nurses who are in that boat who want to be able to continue to serve, Sue Tedford, the executive director of the nursing board, can make referrals to places in need. That's how we need to manage our medical team during this time. And then to the public, I wanted to add something else, that in order for us to be successful in Arkansas in slowing the upward trend line, the public needs to abide by the guidance of the Department of Health. Let me emphasize that again. The public needs to abide by the guidance of the Department of Health, who have said one thing, that there should be in social gatherings 10 or fewer. I've heard that this is not, while many Arkansans are abiding by that very carefully, there are some exceptions to that, and those exceptions can endanger what we're trying to do in getting a handle on this crisis. And so this has been a guideline, and this will be made into a directive. And so the Department of Health will be working on the specific language of a directive that when it comes to inside social events, that we need to follow the guidelines of the Department of Health. This is necessary, and this is the part the public can do. And we want to be able to make sure we can reduce the trend line, but also make sure that those that are doing essential work, that are continuing their necessary obligations can get it done consistent with those guidelines. Finally, I wanted to mention that today I have signed the proclamation for the special session of the General Assembly that will convene tomorrow at 1 p.m. I am very grateful for the leadership of the House and Senate that have made sure that the bill language has been worked with the members where there's broad agreement and the necessary votes to have this passed and in a timely fashion without extending the length of the session, which is not what anyone wants to do, but this proclamation will be available. And then finally, I think I said finally a minute ago, but the last point I want to make is on the unemployment numbers. Just give you a sample as to where we are right now. There were over 9,000 last week. This week thus far, there's been 8,000 claims have been filed. This morning, there were 700 unemployment claims that were filed. And so obviously from that, people are getting through the system, but I urge those that are filing these claims to be patient, as I know you have been, because this volume of claims is unprecedented in our history and in any economic time. And so we are processing them as quickly as we can. I know the wait time on the telephone line, I think, is over 25 minutes. And so be patient. We will get to it, but we're trying to upgrade the systems to make the online system work better and more efficiently. But this gives you an idea as to the need that's out there and how we're responding to it. And so, Dr. Smith, I took too much time from your health report, but I want you to take what you need to make sure that everybody understands where we are.
Thank you, Governor.
Arkansas Department of Health Secretary
thank you,
Dr.
Governor,
Nate
for
Smith.
Your leadership, and thank you, Secretary Todd, as well. I want to give some brief updates or more details on the numbers. As the governor has already said, we're at 280 positive cases. Of those, 13 are children ages 18 or younger. 94 are older adults ages 65 or older. And 173 are adults age range 19 to 64. 60% of our cases continue to be female. And our racial distribution is approximately the same, with 15% African American and 74% white, and the other are other. We currently have 12 of our COVID-19 patients who are hospitalized, and four of them are on ventilators. We have a total of 41 who are in nursing homes. Our criteria for being recovered. And just to give you an idea of the testing that's been done, because the governor mentioned that, we've had, in addition to the 280 positive tests, we've had 1,438 total negative tests. And of those, 675 are from the Arkansas Department of Health Public Health Laboratory, but 763 are from commercial labs. And so now we have both more positives and more negatives coming from our commercial labs that are being reported into the Department of Health. I have a few things that I wanted to mention. The first is the importance when people are not interacting with each other as much as they normally do, of reaching out to each other, giving people that human connection. That's really important for our mental health, for our social cohesion. And if we have extra time on your hands that you didn't expect to have, you know, spend that time, at least some of it, reaching out to your neighbors, to your friends, especially to older Arkansans who may especially be feeling isolated as they're trying to protect themselves and others by staying in. The governor has mentioned that we're going to move that guidance for avoiding social gatherings inside of 10 or more to a directive, but I also want to urge Arkansans to be mindful about where they are and who they're with in public spaces, don't clump all together. You know, whether you go to the grocery store, these are things are necessary, but keep a safe distance, at least 6 feet apart. I got a an email from someone who said they had seen a crowd at a liquor store, so we should shut the liquor stores down. I don't think we need to shut down every place that has crowds, but you don't have to be crowded together just because you're in a public space. I think that's important that we all take responsibility for that and be very mindful of what we're doing. And lastly, I want to mention churches. This weekend, we're going to be having church service at my church, but we're not going to be doing it as a gathering. We have moved to a sort of video format. Last Sunday, my family gathered together in our home, and then we watched the sermon on a video link. And many, many of our congregations, our houses of worship of all faiths, have been very creative in how they maintain that sense of social cohesion and connection without having to gather all together in one space and take the risk of spreading COVID-19 to one another. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to the governor, who I think is going to have Secretary Todd say some words. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. And I asked Secretary Todd to be here today because we want to talk directly to the veterans of our state. We want to make sure that they have access to testing and other medical assistance if they need it or they feel the circumstances dictate it. So, Secretary Todd.
This is Colonel Nate Todd,
you,
Department
Governor.
Of Veterans Affairs.
Thank you, Governor and Secretary Smith, for their clear thinking on this matter. Governor, know that the veterans of Arkansas are disciplined, resilient, and many of them have great faith. Veterans, we've been in contact with the five medical centers that support Arkansas veterans. Those medical centers have access. They are awaiting you via video and a telephone. We ask those veterans to go through the screening process. The VA has testing capability if that veteran meets that criteria. We are thankful for our veterans and the faith-based community, Governor, at our church. Our media ministry is broadcasting, or will broadcast, our service also. This is serious business, veterans. We know the discipline that's required to meet the CDC and the distancing guidelines. Let's do it. Thank you, Governor.
With that, we'll take any questions.
We're listening to a live briefing. Governor Asa Hutchinson and state officials giving an update on COVID-19. The coronavirus in Arkansas.
You said that there were 12 coronavirus patients hospitalized. Can you guys offer some clarity? Are those 12 patients putting our hospitals at capacity?
Currently, we don't have a great number of inpatients. We have had a total of 27 in flu season, and they're people with medical conditions of other types. A lot of folks have been coming in to get tested as an outpatient, but we are looking ahead and leaning forward to seeing how we can expand our hospital capabilities to accommodate what we expect to be an increasing number of patients throughout the state.
Let me add to that, Bill.
Tents or fitting things out to get that done?
The question is in reference to hospital space and whether there's a shortage now. And as Dr. Smith indicated, there's ample room right now for the needs that we have. I've been in regular conversation with the mayor, and I know he's looking to the future. We've had discussions for additional hospital space as we look to as this continues with the trend line upward. And so that's the reason we are having conversations about capacity. There's not any discussion about tents, but there is discussion about bringing additional beds online. And for example, we're blessed in Arkansas because we do have additional capacity that might not be operational now that we can bring on operation. It's a part of it is managing it. For example, we have 8,000 hospital beds in Arkansas, and so it's about, are they properly located? are in the right capacity, but then also these are COVID-19 patients that we're looking at, and you have to have the right place for them. Do we have the right number of ICU beds? And so that's really what we're measuring and looking to the future, plan for what will be the needs in the coming weeks and months.
About the directive on social gatherings, was there any particular type of gathering that was a concern, any enforced, and then also will this apply to churches?
The churches, I mean, first of all, the question is about, you know, what triggered this need for a directive in terms of our social gatherings of fewer, prohibiting 10 or more. And the answer is there's just been some media reports as well as calls that we have received. But it's also stressing the urgency of this opportunity. I do not want to go to a shelter-in-place environment. I do not want to shut down our manufacturing or our other than essential businesses. I don't want to go to that step. And so how do you avoid having to go those additional steps as we've seen other states? And the answer is, let's all do our responsibility. And we've urged that responsibility. This is a way we want to say, it's not just a guideline, this is a directive if we're going to be successful as a state. And so, you know, these are, we'll work on the language. Dr. Smith knows his team will do this. But, you know, whenever you're looking at indoor social events or 10 or more, that's just not the environment that we need to mitigate.
Does it apply to outdoor?
Go ahead.
Well, the purpose here is to try and give people guidance that will protect them and their communities. So I should say, I'm not trying to put down a law that people, the first thing they do is try and figure out a way around it. Outdoors, there is relatively less risk because you've got better ventilation. You've got, during the daylight hours, you've got UV radiation that tends to degrade the virus, and safe 6 feet or more distance between themselves, which is easier to do outside. Then there are many outdoor events that I think are really good and healthy. But we don't want large crowds. We don't want opportunities really for this, our individual Arkansans and their communities.
How would you enforce that?
Well, I would expect as a directive that the public will work hard to abide by it. But I'll be working, whenever there is a directive, it does carry the power of law. And this will give, if someone sees an event that is 100 or 200 people in which there's close contact, that allows, an enforcement component to it. And this is not, a heavy-handed part of the law. This is just gives us the ability to say, you all need to disperse. This is not consistent with the public health directives. And so I hope you all will be patient for 24 hours because, we want to be very specific in the guidelines. But I want the public to understand that this is a need that we have. We want to make sure that we take this precaution to avoid other unnecessary steps that are being considered in other states or implemented.
So how many counties do we have positive tests in now?
I haven't counted them recently, but of course you can go online. That big blue button will give you the map and all the counties that we have cases are lighted up.
So do you think that the reason there are counties without reported positive tests is because of the lack of testing in those counties and probable all over the state?
I would say that we have the potential for COVID-19 transmission to occur in any public space throughout the state. Now, there are areas where we've not had any reported cases, and that could be because people haven't been tested, It could be because it's not there yet. It could be for a wide variety of reasons. Many of these are rural counties, so you don't have as many people, but there's the potential when you're in a public space that someone could be infected. They may not even know they're infected at this time. They may not have signs or symptoms. So we need at this point to assume that any public place, there's the potential for COVID-19 transmission, and we need to take those personal precautions, keeping a 6-foot distance, washing hands, obviously avoiding contact with someone who is visibly ill, but also staying away from people if we have symptoms as well.
This is another, record number for a single day. You're able to test more now, or are there certain clusters that are responsible for a lot of these positive results?
We don't have a single cluster that would account for this jump. As I mentioned, in the last couple of days, we've been testing a lot of asymptomatic individuals in nursing homes, which I think drove down the number of positives. And now we're starting to get more results also from commercial labs. We're getting them from a wide variety of places. But I do think we're seeing more transmission of COVID-19 in our state. And those who had been infected but had no symptoms are now now becoming symptomatic and seeking testing. And that's what we can expect in the next days and weeks ahead. And that's why it's so important that we take these steps to interrupt transmission, to protect ourselves, our families, and our communities, to at least slow down the spread of the rate of COVID-19 transmission, and especially so we can hopefully avoid these more dramatic steps that the governor talked about, like sheltering in place or locking down.
That's Dr. Nate Smith. We've been listening to a live press briefing with Governor Asa Hutchinson and state officials giving the latest, now up to 280 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Arkansas, 62 new cases today, but no new deaths reported. Yesterday, we had our first two deaths in the state. I'm Michael Heblin, joined in the studio by KUAR's Daniel Breen. Danny, you were out covering the Little Rock City Board of Directors taking steps. First, give me the latest, the stepped up the citations, now the overnight curfew in the city.
Right. Well, as you know, we had an overnight curfew here in Little Rock for, I guess it's been about a week. That was previously from midnight to 5 a.m. That's now been extended to 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. And as you said, you can now get a citation for that. That could be as much as $150 to $185. Mayor Frank Scott Jr. today, speaking with the press, said he kind of made it sound like that's like the second strike you'll get a citation. The first is just that you'll get a warning. And again, this doesn't really apply to if you're driving. It doesn't really apply, of course, if you are a healthcare worker or if you work an overnight shift. Mainly, like Mayor Scott said today, it's just to encourage social distancing, to not be a part of like a big, large group outside late at night. He also mentioned specifically people waiting in line at restaurants to get to-go food. Just really, it's just an effort to increase social distancing. But again, it's you can get a citation for it now as much as $185. There's also a new curfew for minors that goes into effect at 9:30 in the morning until 2:30. In the afternoon, there's, of course, some exemptions for that. If you're accompanied by an adult, that's fine. But again, those also can carry the penalty of a citation. That would, of course, go to the parents in that case. As well, today, Mayor Frank Scott talking about the economic impact on the city. As we heard earlier this week from Governor Asa Hutchinson, the state has a pretty big budget shortfall, about $350 million that they have to essentially, they have to contend with it before the end of the current fiscal year. Mayor Frank Scott announced that he will no longer be seeking the 1% sales tax increase that he had announced at his State of the City about a month ago. That was going to go toward improvements to things like the zoo, senior centers, the parks that we've seen, the golf courses here in Little Rock that had closed recently. So he says that's off the table for the foreseeable future. And also, he will be presenting a new city budget to the city board of directors that will reflect a similar revenue loss that the state has seen. Likewise, Little Rock will be also seeing a bit of revenue loss from things like taxes collected from businesses that have had to shutter. You didn't give an exact number on that, but that will be up ahead soon.
Yeah. And on the topic of financial challenges, the governor also there announcing he has signed a proclamation, or will sign one this afternoon, for the Arkansas General Assembly to hold a special session to address budget shortfalls because of the COVID-19 outbreak in the state. That is to begin tomorrow. The Senate to meet at the state capitol, while the House of Representatives is to meet here on the UA Little Rock campus at the Jack Stevens Center. That's to allow people the ability to distance themselves from their colleagues and their staff. It's expected to be just a few days. The governor said he wants to try and keep that as brief as possible. Any indication yet what we can expect from that?
Well, from the session, it's not really sure. I mean, the main purpose of the session that the governor pretty much laid out earlier in the week is that they have to write a budget. The Arkansas Constitution mandates that the legislature presents a budget every 2 years at a fiscal session. So last year, we know we had the just the regular session of the General Assembly. This year, it's time for the fiscal session. That's set to begin in April, and that's when we're writing this budget. But because the governor ordered the state income tax deadline to be pushed past the end of this current fiscal year, that along with lost business revenue has caused the state to have this $353 million budget shortfall. So essentially, the governor said that that is the purpose of this special session, is to get lawmakers together, certainly social distanced, but together in the same room. He said it's not a time for, you know, partisan bickering, not a time for people to focus on anything other than how are we going to present a balanced budget that also factors in this huge loss in state revenue.
And finally, the governor announced he is asking for a temporary process to expedite the licensing for nurses in the state. He expects a shortfall because of contacts they've had with people who might have been infected, may need to self-isolate, might even have cases where you have nurses or doctors contract COVID-19. So he is asking for an expediting of the licensing process. Fees will be waived. Those with a one-year internship can go ahead and apply. This is to make sure that we have enough healthcare professionals in place to handle this. So a few more details that we learned today, but again, to repeat, 280 total cases in Arkansas, 62 new cases today, but no deaths reported. And the governor, you know, said there with these daily briefings, it's just wanting for the public to understand the process and the challenges that the state is facing, and just to be clear about the process. Anything else worth mentioning, Danny?
Well, I did want to say that similarly, to help out healthcare, the healthcare system here in Little Rock, the city is launching an in-person and online giving platform. They're calling it Little Rock Cares. That's going to go toward purchasing that personal protective equipment. It's also going to go toward the World Central Kitchen, which has been helping to provide food to students in Central Arkansas as they've been out of school. And also, Mayor Scott says he will be working with Medicaid and FEMA to work to convert hotels and maybe some disused hospital-type facilities to house other patients, maybe high-risk elderly people who don't have COVID-19, just to sort of reduce the strain and free up some beds at hospitals here in Central Arkansas for COVID-19 patients.
And in terms of the in-state testing, finally, Governor Hutchinson did mention that with new testing, the ramped up testing from commercial labs, the Department of Health, and UAMS, he said that there is a good flavor, that's the phrase he used, of where the state is in terms of the spread of COVID-19. So we'll continue following this, and we'll have more for you this afternoon. During All Things Considered, I'm Michael Hiplin, along with Daniel Breen. This is KUAR 89.1.